call the Tax Conference Committee of House File 2323 to order. And members, I think we have a really ambitious night ahead of us and a lot of opportunity ahead of us. People know there's some compromise afoot, and that provides opportunity for the whole state of Minnesota to conclude the session in a productive way. So folks are asking and wondering. We think we will recess and have House File 885 come up about 10:15. We'll still be in this room. So we'll recess. We'll take that new conference committee up in the same room at about 10:15. We hope to get that work done tonight and return back to this conference committee in this same room yet tonight. So we have a long night ahead of us and a lot of work to do. And if folks are ready, I think we want to first ask Representative Reiner to join us just for a minute. The conferees know that we have had lots of folks weigh in on the Duluth Seaway, and I think there's been a lot of work on Representative Reiner's Representative Reiner has worked hard to try to find a compromise, and so I think we can get this provision taken care of tonight if the Senate conferees and House conferees are comfortable. Yeah. Representative Reiner.
Thank you, Madam welcome. Chair, and I appreciate you letting me come for a few minutes this evening. I'll be brief. You're right, Madam Chair. Starting a couple days ago, I spoke with all of the city councilors in Duluth. 8 out of 9 of them agreed that having the Seaway levy not come to the council is better than no change, which was sort of the path we were on. So I'm now here in unanimous support with the Duluth delegation in support of the Huntley bill.
So everybody keeping score, Representative Reiner, I think Senator Bach just won one. So let's check one for Senator Bach.
Madam Chair.
So I think
Madam
we're going
to. Madam Chair, I'd like to give the credit to this to Senator Pretner Solon.
And Representative Reinert.
And Representative Reinert and Representative Huntley.
And Murphy.
I'm just thankful that there's peace in the valley.
I am too. And so, and I think what we're, if this could just make the process a little faster, if staff knows pages and of side-by-sides for provision, they can just shout them out, because we'd like to adopt this now if someone knows where it is. Page 46 of the side-by-side.
Madam Chair, I'll move Senate Article 4, Section 40. On page 46.
Okay, so does everyone have that motion?
Madam Chair.
Please, Representative Cipher.
Madam Chair, is this just basically do a property tax increase of 0.01813 for everyone in Duluth or close to Duluth?
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Representative Cipher, under current law, the city of Duluth levies this number, 0.01813% of taxable market value. That's the current levy for the Port of Duluth. In statute, it says that the city shall levy this amount. They have no discretion over it. And in recent years, there has been some dispute with the city council. Actually, I believe they've even been to court over the issue. And there is no discretion on the part of the city. What the language does is just takes away the approval of the city council, and it doesn't change the way it's levied. It just takes away the fact that the port has to go to the city of Duluth for approval to do the levy when in statute it already says the city shall do the levy. So it's current practice, except the issue doesn't come in front of the city council for their approval.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Senator, yes. And in fact, what happened when this came to a head last year, the council actually voted against approving that levy. We then were directed by the county that if we did not change our vote, it would be taken out of our general property tax levy, which obviously was not appealing, so we did change our position.
Okay, so does everyone understand Senator Bach's motion? Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The provision is adopted. Thank you, Representative Reiner, and
the
whole delegation. We appreciate it. We were hoping to talk a little bit about, we have a couple provisions on electric generation. Are the Senate conferees interested in talking about that now, or do you need to work on that?
Madam Chair, I think we need to do some work on that, and we'd like to talk about that next week.
Okay, so Representative Kalin has a big interest there, and I know.
As does Senator Skoy.
Okay.
So we have pretty drastic, radically different positions on that. I think that's probably a larger issue for us.
Okay, so we're going to hold on that one if we can tonight. Let's see. We have a couple of maintenance of effort provisions in the bill. And you heard a bit about Representative Loeffler's, which is much more extensive. And so we'd like to get a feel on what the Senate conferees may be thinking there. We have a much more minor maintenance of effort provision as well, which is not the ambitious Loeffler provisions, but is in just a two-year moratorium on creating new ones. So we just, you know, do you want to learn a little bit more about that one? Do you remember that? We'd like to talk about them both, but get a feel where you're at on Representative Loeffler's provisions.
So, Madam Chair, it prohibits any new maintenance of effort provisions from being enacted into law. Is that?
Does anyone know the page of the side-by-side? And Ms. Dalton, did you want to join us quick on the at the microphone?
Look, Madam Chair, it does not put a sunset on the existing ones like the Loeffler provision did.
The moratorium is a moratorium on both match and maintenance of effort.
Okay, and we're getting notes here that folks need to use their microphones. So, Representative Loeffler, I don't think anyone heard you. I think you
Sorry
have to actually
that.
Move them closer to you physically. Representative Loeffler.
My apologies to the audience and Madam Chair, the House has, in addition to the maintenance of effort match reform, has a moratorium
page.
On any new match and maintenance of effort.
Representative Loeffler, can you give
and
us a page?
And it's page 29. I'm told I was just kind of
page 29.
To get the same.
Section 11.
Article 3, section 11, on the House side, page 29.
Representative Loeffler. Further, or Ms. Dalton?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this does not prohibit anyone from passing any new maintenance of effort or matching funds. It basically prohibits the implementation of any new or increased maintenance of effort matching funds for 2 years. So if somebody puts one into a bill this year, it essentially, and this bill passes afterwards, this would essentially keep it from going into effect for 2 years.
So that makes sense to Senate conferees. I mean, it's not taking on the whole thing and the reform, which we want to do. We think Representative Loeffler is exactly on track here, and we think we've got all kinds of chairs doing all kinds of things that are raising property taxes, and they're not, as you said, Senator Bach, there's people passing amendments in conference committees. What this would do is very minor, would say, you know, people can pass them all they want, but we're not going to start imposing new ones which require property tax increases till we get things figured out. So I don't think it affects anything that's in play right now. Senator Skoy.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And I did meet with Representative Loeffler and Senate House staff and the department, and we spent a couple hours kind of walking through some of the reform things. And, you know, I think you know, if we had, you know, given time to work through this, and if Representative Loeffler and the staff and the Senate were – the House and the Senate were able to get good information from the department, what I think there is a chance that that will be forthcoming in the future, that maybe we can make some headway on this. But this moratorium on any new would probably be as much as I think we'd be able to accomplish in this conference committee. But we can, you know, we still have a week or so of session. We can see where it goes. But for now, I would think this would be as much as we think about.
Okay, so folks, Senators Dibble, please.
On the matching fund piece, do we know if any of our committees are establishing any matching fund requirements for locals? I'm just curious.
Any staff members who are tracking what other folks are doing right now?
And I see there's some provisions for the stimulus MOEs and matching at the local, so we're not reaching into prohibiting folks from taking advantage of stimulus dollars, which is good.
Right. Madam Chair and members, the intent of this was always to be able to maximize our federal dollars and to accommodate the stimulus dollars. I have not talked recently about the conferees. They hadn't gotten to that level of detail in Health and Human Services. I think we need to communicate our desire to them. Representative Skoy had mentioned the other day that they had discussed a new increased match requirement related to a particular state-operated facility called, the abbreviation is MEDO. I think it's Minnesota Extended Treatment Option. And so that there is at least one in play. From his information, but we would, you know, I think if we adopt this now, we can clearly convey this to our peers and make sure that we're coordinated.
Representative Seifert, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, with the bonding bill sometimes.
Representative Seifert, can you use your microphone? Sorry. People can't hear you.
First time anybody's ever asked me to do that.
thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Loeffler, with the bonding bill sometimes having requirements for either flood match or with bonding projects of whatever sort, would this have any effect on projects that may have local government implications or the like, or do we think that would probably not really fall under maintenance of effort requirements?
Madam Chair and Seifert, I think Pat Dalton has the language right in front of her. I'm just looking it up right now, the exact language.
Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, I actually don't have the language right in front of me, but the way it was drafted is it doesn't prohibit essentially a county or city from choosing to do a match. So, for instance, if they want to take advantage of a bond, of some state bonding that requires them to do a match, they can do the match to get the bonding money. So it does not prohibit that type of relationship or that type of matching fund requirement.
But, Madam Chair, so it would have a moratorium on any new MOEs, but it does nothing with the whole library argument and the other things the counties have brought up. It doesn't go backwards on anything.
Madam Chair, Representative Seifert, that's correct. It doesn't change any of the existing MOEs. Those are just left the way they are in current law.
We think the Senate would like this if they think about it a little bit more. Senator, yes, please.
Madam Chair, this is the provision that got us in trouble last year after the end of session. So
what I
don't want to do is get a call from the commissioner after we adjourn. So I'd like to know from the commissioner what he thinks. And frankly, if the commissioner is fine with this, I'm fine with it. So
okay. Because I don't.
But I don't want to get down the road and get crossways with people on this.
And we'll hear from the commissioner. It's not, though, the provision of that got us into trouble, because that affected all the ones that are in current law. And I think Senator Rust has something she wants to add to. Commissioner, please.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Bach. Yeah, this is materially different than what we passed last year. And that this is basically just freezing the status quo until we can come back maybe at a future date and work on the Loeffler proposal or something along those lines. So I want to echo what Senator Scully said. I appreciated the time we spent with Representative Loeffler and the staff at the DHS, and it was a good meeting. Though for me, someone who's outside the realm of expertise by a long shot in DHS stuff, it was migraine-inducing. And and it is a very ambitious proposal, and I think this here would be a nice first step. Let's just freeze the status quo. Let's not make the situation any worse than it currently is. And then hopefully we can work on, in the interim, we can work on some of these ideas that Representative Loeffler has talked about.
Madam Chair?
Representative Loeffler?
I think it's important to note that the freeze on the maintenance of effort came from our mandate reform work group, one of the three work groups that we had in the House. And it's written broadly. So it's not just to Health and Human Services. It's cities, townships, and counties. So I think people should know that. It came out of that initiative, and so we'd need to check with a number of committees just to make sure that everybody understands our intent here. Senator Scoy and I had talked about if we weren't going to do the teeing up the ambitious in 3 years, this is the plan. I understand some hesitancy because we haven't been able to get the numbers and really do the models, even though the department has been much more working with us, that we have talked about perhaps putting some language in that would direct the counties and the Department of Human Services to work together towards a more uniform system of financing of mandated services. And I would, I think we need to look at that.
Okay, so Senator Bach, you're okay with that then? If the commissioner's okay with it? Senator Scoy? Anybody else? Representative Russ? Or Senator Rust. Sorry, when I started, Representative Rust.
No, Madam Chair, my question was answered by reading the language.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Representative Loeffler.
Well, then I would move that we would move the House position on Article 3, Section 11.
Okay, so to the Loeffler motion, did everyone have that? Senator Dibble.
Just if I could, I think I heard Ms. Dalton say earlier this wouldn't prohibit a voluntary for a local unit a government to voluntarily match to qualify for matching dollars, correct?
Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, Representative Dibble, I think maybe the easiest thing is to direct you to the language that really directly impacts that. It's on page 73 of House File 2323. And on line 4 of page 73, it defines what a matching fund requirement is, and it says explicitly it does not mean required non-state contributions to state capital-funded projects or other non-state contributions required in order to receive a grant or loan the political subdivision has requested or applied for. So that, we think, takes care of some of those special grants and those bonding funds, bonding requirements.
Senator Dibble?
Thank you.
Great. Okay.
Senator,
I'm sorry. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question actually was answered by reading the language, but just for clarification, in the description on the side-by-side, it references the Commission on Mandate Reform, and I just want to make sure that that is not being adopted by this motion. It's only the language that's actually in Section 11, even though that commission is mentioned here.
Representative Loeffler, you want to clarify your motion?
Madam Chair, that is correct. This is just a reference in the side-by-side. The actual language has no reference to that particular commission.
Okay, great. Do we all understand that? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The provision is adopted. Senator Bach, we were going to look at a couple TIF items, and I don't know what page those are on, Senator Bach. Let me see here. See if we can find them. We're going to look at St. Louis Park TIF and North Mankato TIF. We're in the 60s, I know that.
St. Louis Park is page 72.
Page 72.
Article 6, Section 25 on the Senate side.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I would move Senate Article 6, Section 25.
Okay, members, this is the – oh, Senator Bach, I want to talk to you about this a minute. Just, what we thought
– this would work. We're willing to do this.
Even though we did not support it in the House. But we had the long discussion about it's the same as Minnetonka and all the testimony.
Well,
we're not quite the same, but we think we were.
If we
did go back and look, and they sent us all information, and they think they missed it by one percentage point. So I thought that was pretty compelling, but I think the thing to do here is to give them what Minnetonka got. And Minnetonka got 7 years, not the 10. So if we could just do the same thing and give them the 7, I think it works for them.
Madam Chair, what did Minnetonka come in and ask for?
10.
Well, let me just ask, Mr. Michael, just to clarify.
Is that right?
They initially asked for 5, and then they asked for 7. So they actually asked for 7.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Latz would be fine if we gave him 7.
You can always try again. Senator, so is that all right? So do you want to amend your motion there? Or does everyone understand it?
Do we need a new language, Council, or? We just use the St. Louis Park language and give them 7-year extension instead of 10.
Mr. Chair, we could use the language that's in the bill right now, but with 7 years.
And this is noting that they would have been able to be the other kind of TIF district.
Or substandard, mix of substandard.
Right, because they brought us, all members should have received that packet of information. So we hope everybody's read that St. Louis Park put together a bunch of information. So. Everyone understand that one?
So, Madam Chair, Senate Article 6, Section 25, instead of a 10-year extension, it's a 7-year extension.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion, or the provision is adopted.
North Mankato.
And, Madam Chair, North Mankato.
Yeah, we don't
know
the bottom line. And then it goes on
Something
the other
me.
Page.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move Senate Article 6, Section 24, which is the North Mankato TIF. And that was an issue of their number of years into their TIF project, and they wanted to add a parcel. And I think you indicated that we have never done that before. And council went and did a little work and found out I think we have.
Council? Madam Chair, in the city, in 1995, there was a bill that allowed the city of Morris to expand its district.
Should do some research and figure out who those naughty legislators were in 1995.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Rest was the tax chair in the Senate at the time, in the House.
So you made the motion?
I made the motion.
You made the motion. The House remains opposed, and I think the precedent is the reason it's not the city. So if there's not further discussion, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Or the provision. Sorry, I'm used to saying amendment.
Madam Chair, Senator Sharon is not going to be happy about this.
And Representative Morrow is not going to be, but it did not prevail, so no. Okay, so let's see.
There was one more.
Can we go?
You know, Madam Chair, we both have Mankato, and I have written down we haven't done it yet.
Well, we can certainly move that. I thought we did it.
Did we move Mankato?
Sure, does everybody know what page we're on for that?
Page 70.
Page 70.
Yeah, I don't have it. So.
Senator Skoy, you've got the motion.
Madam Chair, I think there were some slight differences between the House and the Senate. The House is a little bit more restrictive, but the Mankato people had told us that they were okay.
Yes. Senator Bach, Senator Skoy, I believe in, you know, we could try to make a quick call, but my understanding is the city prefers the House language. Have they told you that as well?
I have okay with the House language written
okay.
on my sheet.
So your motion, Senator Skoy?
Madam Chair, I'll move House Article 11, Section 19.
Senator Skoy moves House Article 11, Section 19. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The provision is adopted. House provision. And can we, Representative Rukavina is with us now. We wanted to take a minute to talk about the minerals article, or at least see if there's anything we could get done now. And I know it's always fun to talk about the minerals article. Senator Bach and Representative Rukavina, maybe Representative Rukavina can just talk to us a bit, and if he's got the side-by-side. And Representative Rukavina, what do you want us to do this year? The House conferees need some guidance to hear what the House delegation wants from the conference committee this year in this regard.
Well, Madam Chair, there's a number of items in the House bill that we're looking to address what may be, you know, the next generation of mining in northeastern Minnesota dealing with the non-ferrous taxes. So in Article 12 in Section 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, it deals with the distribution of how the non-ferrous minerals would be distributed with a almost identical distribution similar to the current taconite tax distribution. This is something that Senator Bach and I talked about 5 years ago at least that nobody's ever put in law, and I'm afraid that, you know, if the non-ferrous mining starts and this isn't addressed, then what has been sharing mostly from my little legislative district, but almost all from Senator Tom Soni's district, isn't going to be addressed. So that's why we put that in there. You know, the rest of, quite frankly, if some of these things aren't done, I just assume that nothing be done at all on any of this, because I don't mind sharing with my friends, but for 20 years around here, I watched as Doug Johnson probably shifted more wealth than the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan in northeastern Minnesota, and, you know, I always share and share and share, and I just got to keep sharing, so... What I'd prefer to do rather than have this food fight public any further would be to at some point sit down with Senator Bach and have some staff in the room to see what we can iron out. Otherwise, I'll really go off half-cocked here. So,
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina and I have both been busy. You know, he chairs two conference committees.
One of which was vetoed about 7:30 this evening.
And... I think things will slow down a little bit for both of us next week, so I think I commit to the committee that we'll find some time to sit down. Actually, I like some things he has in here that I do think need to be addressed. And Representative Rick, what I don't know is the 13 school districts in the non-Ferris district. I just want to make sure that we have Aiken in.
I believe that the old districts from the but that could be one of the things, and
I think we need to talk about that. Madam Chair, there apparently is a very large non-ferrous mining deposit down in Representative Solberg's district that is the mother lode, I understand, and we don't think of Aiken as being on the Iron Range, but apparently there's a very significant deposit of copper nickel there.
Well,
Representative Rick, I need to talk about just to make sure we get this defined right so that.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Bach, the original school districts, which included Aiken and Cross-Barrington in Grand Rapids, were up till a few years ago in everything, including our distributions, and they still get certain distributions but not others, so we could talk about it. You're right. I've also heard that the load is a thick, rich load, but it's not that big of an area. I mean, it's very easily extracted.
Well, and Madam Chair, it'll never bring the kind of money that iron ore has over the last
but
100 years.
But members, other than that, I mean, I'd just as soon sit down with Senator Bach and do this rather than, you know, fight publicly. But it's gotten to the point where I'm not, you know, opposed to fighting publicly. So.
Senator Bach, I just want to get this on the record. And, you know, first of all, members should know that we're probably going to need these two to come back into the room, shake hands in front of all of us so we know that they're
We're still good friends. doesn't have anything to do with, Madam Chair, with, you know, my irritation over the last several years with some of the things that have showed up in the tax bill that I didn't know
about. Yeah, I think the other conferees want to see a public
Madam Chair.
Agreement.
About a week ago. I was in St. Paul, yeah, and my cell phone rang, and I looked it up, and it said Rook on it. So I answered it, and it was Representative Rook Avina, and he was on his way down here.
Swearing?
And he said...
Yeah, it was right after I had to vote on your tax bill.
He said, of course, the headlines that morning in the Mesaba Daily News, the Iron Ranges Daily Newspaper, said they're trying to drive us out of business, and very big headline. And they had interviewed a bunch of establishment owners on the range that talked about all of the things that are happening to their businesses and were implying that they're no longer going to be in business if the legislature keeps treating them how they're being treated. And so I had seen the article, so when Representative Rook Avina called me, I think the first words out of his mouth were, "Senator, save us from ourselves." And Madam Chair, I think he was referring to the House tax bill.
Madam Chair, I was only referring to the alcohol tax. So that's what the article was about.
Drink up, people.
And
drink up.
I was saying save some money for ourselves, Senator, is what I...
Well, you seemed like you were coming across pretty clear. You had good reception, but... Well, Madam Chair, we'll work on this. We'll find an agreement.
We'll find some agreement
on things except the TAC and I railroad, probably.
Well... Do you want to talk about that publicly here?
No.
Okay. To see who's right and wrong, I bet you I could get 4 votes on your side, Senator.
I don't think, not today you can.
Okay, Representative Rook Avina, thank you so much for being here. And Senator Bach, that will be really helpful if you two can.
We'll try to figure that out. We honestly, Madam Chair, have not had time to deal with it.
Right.
Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Senator or Representative Marquardt.
Madam Chair, we have one that we talked a lot about, but we didn't do anything about, and that's that Faribault Job Z extension.
Yeah.
That's page 70, House Article 11, Section 20, and, of course, we had quite a bit of testimony on that one, and they've got a potential business coming in with a lot of jobs. And old Senator Bach, you were... had some questions as if they were disadvantaged and how to rate that. But I, Madam Chair, would you entertain me to move this?
Sure, and I'd like to hear from the commissioner, too, on this one. So.
Madam Chair, I thought the department was working on some language to try and narrow this up so that we weren't going to see a flurry of Job Z extensions. And I was amicable to doing this, And I think I said that on the record, but...
Well, we can hang on. I have written in the margin, Bach needs more info. So we thought you were going to go get that info. Did you get, you didn't get it yet? Maybe...
Well, I think it was Deed, actually. Well, here we are.
Okay. Are they here? Yeah. Sure, come on up, and while they're doing that, Commissioner, is this something the governor's supporting?
Mark Loftus can probably speak a little more intelligent than me, Madam Chair, on this issue, but my understanding is that the administration is supportive of the Faribault.
Okay. Welcome, Mr. Loftus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Mark Loftus from Deed. I did provide language to your staff, I think, on Saturday, and it was a suggestion that we could identify this project by the type of company it was, by the location, also to narrow the window in which a subsidy agreement could be executed, which accords roughly with the time frame that we know the project to be. And as I also looked at it, the discussion, I think, as I get the discussion last Friday night, your intent was to try to narrow this to this project. So it occurred to me that if staff could draft this language such that we had our commissioner authorize one subsidy agreement for this under this purpose, it would narrow it to the intent here, rather than have multiple projects, which I think was one of the concerns that you expressed the other night.
Well, should we just, why don't we have Senator Bach, unless you can make a decision quickly, we can just come back to this in 10 minutes. Mr. Michael is saying he's not sure if you will feel it's narrow enough. And Mr. Loftus, have you reviewed this?
I have not seen that, Madam Chair.
You provided something to who?
To Mr. Michael and to
Okay, Mr.
Senate
Michael, you want to just join us so we can just kind of understand here? You know, because we want it to work here. If the governor supports it and folks want it, I actually don't like these. You know, I'll be clear on that. I'm not a big fan, but the House wants it, and it's the governor, and, you know, so the tighter the better is fine with me, but we just want to make sure the Senate's comfortable. Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this, if you look at the, I guess there aren't, you don't have copies of the amendment, but basically this follows the pattern that was used with the ethanol extensions. And it provides, as the House bill provides, a 5-year extension for sites that meet a list of 3 qualifications. One, the parcel has to be located in a county that either has an unemployment rate that when the business subsidy agreement equals or exceeds 10%, which is the current unemployment rate in Rice County, or is 10% higher than the state average, which right now is 8.2%, so that would be 9.8%. Now, I suppose there's some risk that if unemployment drops in that county and this isn't executed, you know, within that time, that could disqualify it, so that's a consideration. Second thing is that the qualified business on the site has to have its headquarters there, has to engage in research and development and in manufacturing of products used in these various industries to reduce or increase the efficiency of energy resources and that are manufactured using innovative and high technology processes. Basically, this company is in what's called electrochromatics, which is a process, as my limited understanding of it, is a glass that has coatings on it that respond to electricity and change based on the electric charge, the opacity of the glass. And it's used for things like energy conservation and in a variety of different products. So anyway, that would qualify. Now, of course, there may be other projects that could meet this qualification. The final thing is that the business subsidy agreement has to be executed after July 1st, 2009, so you would not pick up projects that had been done before that, would therefore get a gratuitous 5-year extension. Another possibility, which had been suggested by Mr. Loftus, would be to actually put a termination date on that, so it would require that the subsidy agreement be entered into before some terminating date. You could do that if you want to Now, that was not done with the ethanol project, so that was sort of an open-ended. So that's the reason why I didn't put it in there, but that certainly is something you could add to give them 18 months, let's say, to enter the agreement so some other business would not qualify under this.
Senator Bach. Well,
Madam Chair, Mr. Loftus, would it work if we put a sunset on this provision at the end of the biennium?
Mr. Loftus.
The upcoming biennium, which would be 2 years and 3 months. Or
talking about 13 or 11?
End of FY 11.
FY 11.
July 2011.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, that would certainly give enough time for this project to come together.
Yeah. It's going to get built in Minnesota or somewhere else in that period of time.
Yes, right.
You have other concerns? Does that work?
I think that's pretty narrow, and I think if we could include a sunset July 1, 2011, that if it's not executed by then, the authority expires. I want to make sure the deed has this tool in their box. If this helps us get this company in Minnesota, I think we all should want it to want that.
Commissioner?
Yeah, Madam Chair, my understanding is
based on the fact. Commissioner, can you use that microphone?
Sorry, Madam Chair. My understanding is that would give us ample time, Senator Bach, to put the deal together and make sure we secure that employer. So that should be adequate. And it puts an outer limit on it, too, then.
Okay, anyone else? Otherwise, we're going to take the Marquardt motion. He's trying to incorporate Senator Bach's concerns here now. Anyone else? Okay, Representative Marquardt.
Madam Chair, then I'll move with amendment Article 11, Section 20, the Faribault Job Z extension, and directing Mr. Michael to put in those restrictions that he had mentioned, and also with the sunset for July 1st, 2011, I think is what was Senator Bach's intent. So if we could do that.
Does everyone understand that motion? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The provision as amended and directed to staff by Senator Bach is adopted. Representative Lilly is here. If he wants to join us, he may please do, but we would want to just did we adopt the South St. Paul TIF already? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
But I think everybody was okay with that one, and if someone knows where that is. This member's was...
Madam Chair, what does this have to do with Representative Lilly?
This is...
Maplewood.
South St. Paul.
Oh, South St. Paul. This is... You're not here for that provision. Which provision?
Oh, damn.
It was a part of the five-year rule we've done.
Oh, yes, yes. We've done that. Okay, so he's here. Okay. That's right.
Good work.
Thank you for being here, though, Representative Lilly. I'm getting tired. But we did a general...
How about Friday night?
Yes, we did a general TIF change that makes your bill done. So we'll pass that information on to you, Representative Lilly. So thank you for being here. Are there other... Are there senators here who are tracking something that we need to call up?
Madam Chair,
otherwise, I've got a number of things I want to...
I have the, as long as we're on TIFs, I have the Duluth TIF marked that the House has better language.
Page?
Which, it's House Article
page
11,
17?
Section
18. No, it can't be
70.
70. New language.
Page 70.
Okay, so there's some
it
new language.
House as amended is what I have written on there.
Okay, so now the House has got new language, I guess. Mr. Michael's going to tell us about. Let's see. Can someone tell us? We're on page 70 of the side-by-side. Is that right?
Yes.
Page 70.
Yes.
70. And Mr. Michael, you want to tell us about the new language?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this basically follows the pattern of the House bill that ties the beginning of the five-year rule running to the date when the last parcel in this area is delisted from the Superfund site. And the theory, of course, is that that's the point at which development really can happen, because until it's cleaned up, it's not really possible to complete the development activities. This, which is the way the House bill was formulated, this also has an exception that also ties the running of the four-year knockdown rule to that same principle, which was not in the House bill originally. So that's the main change. The other thing was that both bills allowed multiple districts to be created. This limits it to only one district being created.
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I'll move the JM 055.
Okay, so.
Which is the House language as amended.
Okay, so that was Article 11 of the House, Section 18. Everyone understands Senator Bach's JM 055 amendment. Okay, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The article and section that Senator Bach just went through with the JM 055 amendment is adopted. Did you say there was something else?
Madam Chair, I'm looking on the same page. You just have me looking on the same page. Senate Article 6, Section 1 of the prohibition to new municipal incorporations.
Where are you? I don't know. Oh, it must be the page before.
What page?
It's the same page, page 70.
Bottom
page right.
70. Right. I'm on the old side by side. Farewell.
Must be.
Which provision?
Top of 71 for you. We have different side by side.
Right,
we have the updated one.
Chisago, we did that.
No.
It's Senate Article 6, Section 1.
Oh, this is the anti-annexation provision, right? No. I put no more cities in quotes.
That's what it essentially does.
We like cities in the House.
Madam Chair, we don't have enough LGA to fund the ones we currently have. This just kind of calls a timeout on new incorporations of new cities. The townships have asked me to take a look at something a little later than June 1st. I think they suggested August 1st. And they asked me if I'd be willing to take a year off and go to 2013 rather than 2014. I think those are probably reasonable requests. I would hope that we could get the towns and the cities together and work a little bit closer on land use planning. And it just seems like there are some places where towns, in order to avoid things like county land use planning, are deciding to incorporate into a city. And it seems like it's the wrong reason in some cases. So.
Senator Bach. We at House Conference feel really strongly about this one, so at a minimum we'd like to hold it, but I think Representative Coonan and Representative Marquardt really dislike this. Is that right, Representative Coonan?
Well, let's come back to it some other time.
Okay. So, wait. I don't know if we...
Senator Madam Chair, I have that...
Senator Rest.
Housing replacement language, if you want to take a look at that.
Okay, is... Sure, and I have... Just so members know, I have a list of about 20 things. And what I was trying to do is do ones that won't take more than a few minutes of discussion. So if that one's... I think we should just... If it's okay, everybody, I think we're going to hang on here a minute because we talked about the... Mr. Michael's reminding me, we just did the St. Louis Park, and we were all okay with the Minnetonka, but we never even adopted the Minnetonka, so I want to try to get the ones that don't have any discussion that have to take place done first, if we can. So if someone can tell me where the Minnetonka one is.
68.
Section 14.
We're going to do it.
And you know, we do have the whole public finance article to do, too. Okay, so Representative Loeffler, did you want to...
We're going to do something.
Do you have the motion?
I would be glad to move. On page 68, it's side by side, House Article 11, Section 14.
Okay, so that's the Minnetonka TIF discussion. All those in favor say aye. Oh, Senator Bach, sorry.
Page, Madam Chair, I just wanted to mark it.
Page 68, House Article 11, Section 14. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. South St. Paul really did have something right above it. I was thinking of Representative Lilly. And did we work out that similar? Does everyone see right above that page 68, South St. Paul? Did Ms. Off or Mr. Michael want to tell us if There's something. Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, this is the one where we had the plagiarized note from Senator Metzen.
Oh.
Said he preferred the House language. And I indicated to him at some point I was going to invite him into the conference committee, and I asked him to please bring a handwriting sample. So that, because remember, he also wrote us about the North Mankato tip.
Yes, he did.
The same night.
Sent it in with Terry Morrow.
You'll remember.
Senator Bach, did you ever find out who was writing those notes?
That's why we need a handwriting sample from Senator Metzen. I think we'll have him write it right there at that table.
Yeah.
So I think Senator Metzen did want the, even though it's not in his district, it's in my seatmate, Senator Sieben's district.
And Representative Bigham.
And Representative Bigham was here to testify and wanted the House language. So, Madam Chair, I would move House Article 11, Section 13.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Let's see. We have.
We do Oakdale?
Yes.
We did do Oakdale, yes. Maybe we should just look at the TIF for a minute before we jump
over. Arden Hills?
Yes. Where is that? Arden Hills is the next page, page 69. And I know that this is.
It's at the bottom of 68.
Yeah, we're working off different ones. Article 11, Section 15. And the Senate didn't have a provision. The Representative Knuth was here. Representative Knuth's original bill, members, I'll just remind people because we took testimony in this, was they wanted a lot more than the House gave them. And, you know, I felt that the House could do this, but not everything they wanted. So, Senator Bach, where are you now on that? I know.
Well, Madam Chair, I know Senator Chaudhry wasn't too enamored about this, but. I appreciate your willingness to do the St. Louis Park TIF for Senator Latz, and in my appreciation for that, I guess I'm willing to do the Arden Hills TIF for Representative Knuth.
Okay. This is a big mess.
It's
so,
a mess.
You know, my guess is that this may, they're going to be back.
It's probably not going to work.
And I don't know what they're going to do, but these polluted sites are not happy. Situation. So, Senate. So, Representative Coonan, you want to make the motion, or did you move it? I don't know. Representative Coonan, do you have?
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll move on the House side, Article 11, Section 15.
Discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The provisions adopted. We did St. Paul housing replacement powers right below it, or no? Senate said Fridley now wants something different. Oh, that's the one that's going to take a little discussion, right? And then we did the City of Sauk Rapids TIF.
Mm-hmm. Senate.
Well, I don't have that.
No.
I don't have that mark that we did, but.
I do. So we picked up the Senate language.
We did.
We adopted the Senate language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, adopted the Senate language. That was Article 6, Section 29. And then we just did the next one, Duluth Port. And then we did the next one, City of Mankato. And we did Faribault. And then we said no on the No More Cities.
Oh,
okay.
No. Maybe.
For now.
Yeah, for now. So I'm going to go back to my list here for just a second for see what's really. Oh, I know. Senator Bach. We, Representative Junkie, well, Representative Markhor can talk about the veteran spouse thing. We wanted to know how you're feeling about that one now. Representative Markhor, did you want to remind people of the Junkie provision?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course, last year we did a market value exception for disabled veterans up to $300,000 of exempt value. And last year we said for surviving spouses, I think it would be 1 year. Extension? Yeah, and we would like to extend that to 5 years or until the spouse remarries.
Senator Bach?
Madam Chair, this is a provision for disabled veterans, and I think we feel extending it beyond that really, we don't quite understand the rationale of that. Senators, go ahead, and I had a conversation that in the case of a disabled veteran, it's very likely that surviving spouse is probably the breadwinner in that family. And we don't see the reason to, today at least, at that. Not really the kind of a local provision we've been kind of talking about trying to accomplish. But not that we can talk about it later. But.
Well, I'm going to move it here so we can get Article 6. I'm going to move Article 6, Section 15 of the House position.
The Marquardt motion.
We're on page 42.
Page 42. Representative Marquardt, you want to move that again a little? It's hard to hear you into the mic, I think.
Sorry. I move Article 6, Section 15.
Okay. Discussion. Page 42. Article 6, Section 15, Homestead Disabled Veteran.
Madam Chair.
Representative Seifert.
We have a. Why wouldn't we do this?
Well, the House wants to vote for it right now. We're with, and yes, Representative Seifert.
I'd ask for roll call, Madam Chair.
Representative Seifert requests a roll call on the Marquardt motion. Okay, further discussion. Who's doing the roll call here? Got everybody awake here. Is there further discussion? I'm going to call for the roll.
Lencheski?
Yes.
Marquardt?
Yes.
Quinn?
Yes.
Loughlin? Yes.
Siebert? Yes.
Fox?
No.
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 Johnson?
Yes.
No.
Okay, thank you. The motion does not prevail. The amendment, or the provision is not adopted. Senator Bach, can we talk a minute about a couple of things? I think you really like the elder Representative Loeffler bill. I don't recall what it's called, but other than Representative Loeffler, well, and maybe maybe Representative Seifert, who's, you know, remember the whole Catholic discussion?
The Catholic Elder Care Project, ma'am.
We're not enamored with that, at least three of us. But we do want to do the public charity, the Under the Rainbow. Are you ready to look at that?
Madam Chair, it's pretty late. I want to get very clear testimony on the rainbow provision. Whether we do that tomorrow or next week is fine with me, but I think it's very important we get on the record relative to the rainbow provision, what the words reasonable justification mean. It just seems pretty broad to me. Not that I'm opposed to those using those words, which there seems to be some agreement around, but I want to have a very good understanding from the assessors and from the department what those words mean. And so I'd rather, I mean, I'm willing to put that on the calendar for tomorrow.
Okay.
And do that. And so we can give adequate notice to people and to the right people from the department, I think.
Senator Bach, I think, you know, if we're going to hold on these, I think we want to hold on both that and the Representative Loeffler bill. But Representative Marquardt?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I mean, I don't. The Department of Revenue and the assessors and the nonprofits, they had like 15 or 16 meetings and 20-some drafts of the bill. And I think our only difference is the wording of compelling factual reason or reasonable justification. And I would be willing, you know, I think if we went reasonable factual justification would be a good middle ground. But I don't know if they can perfect this, and I don't know if they ever can, but I would really like to get that moving tonight. Right. And I mean, I don't think it would take that long.
Representative Marquardt, there will someday be a court case about this, and right now, today at least, I think we've developed very little legislative intent about what the meanings of those words are, and those words are going to mean something someday. So I think it's... It may well be tomorrow reasonable justification is fine with me, or maybe some hybrid works. I just want to be real clear how assessors and revenue are going to interpret this. And I have no problem with adopting reasonable justification as long as I understand what it means. But I do think that takes some very clear testimony. I don't know in those 15 meetings or more that were had between all these stakeholders, if it took that many meetings, they had a lot of discussion about very carefully crafting those words, and I just think we all need to know what that was all about so that we clearly establish what legislative intent is.
Madam Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
I do know, you know, as part of this, the Department of Revenue is going to send out an advisory to assessors, and I'm just worried the longer we wait on this, the more this bill gets into peril, and I just think this is one of the more crucial things we can do this year is to get this issue settled once and for all, because a lot of nonprofits right now are on the edge, their seats just seeing, you know, waiting for this to go through.
Representative Marquardt, my intent would be to adopt the language tomorrow. Whether exactly what the words are, I don't know, but my intent is not to put this off for the later tax bill. My intent is that we, you know, when we're all fresh and ready to ask the right questions and get the right testimony on the record, I think it's very, very important. We're talking about the tax status. And, you know, when the property tax status kicks in, I believe it triggers, Commissioner, does it trigger often trigger a sales tax exemption also?
Commissioner.
Senator Black, we did have discussions.
The link between the sales tax exemption and the property tax exemption, I think we've resolved that to our satisfaction that there's not we're not worried about that, but we can talk more at length about that. That's a concern. I think Representative Marquardt's right. I mean, there's a lot of work in this. It's fine. We can put something on the record as far as legislative intent, the intent of the department, intent of the assessors who worked on it. But this was a major undertaking. I think the department was on the record from the get-go saying that it would be extremely difficult to codify the case law that's out there. Extremely difficult proposition. We're never going to have a bright-line rule in statute. It's just not conducive to a bright-line rule that can be easily administered. We think this is an improvement, though, over the case law that's out there. It gives some direction, and we'd be happy whenever the committee obviously wants to take it up.
Madam Chair, so Marco, my intent would be to try and adopt this language tomorrow. I just think we need to make sure the right people are here and that they're on their toes, because this is a pretty big deal potentially, and a lot of people put a lot of work into it.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair. We can
okay, so we have a lot of holds for tomorrow, so we want to keep going. Senator Dibble, we're going to try to do a bunch of provisions in the next 30 minutes. Senator Dibble.
Oh, just very quickly, just as long as we're talking about the this particular subject, I also hope to maybe pull forward a couple of different organizations who can help us explain their circumstance, make sure, because I know that the legislative intent is not to expand or contract the definition of institutions of purely public charity. There are those, I think, that are understood but are really worried that perhaps the language doesn't quite capture their circumstance. And so just so you know, just to be clear, it's cultural institutions that are in publicly owned facilities, institutions that do environmental land consolidation, that sort of thing. So I want to spend a little time exploring whether or not this language captures those circumstances as well.
Thank you. And for members keeping track, I just want to be – I guess I'll just put this out to the staff that if any of these things that I think have already been adopted are not adopted, someone should correct us so we can get them done. Here's what I just have. Bovine TB was resolved. Yes? Okay. TNT was resolved. Mm-hmm. Marquardt Gardner TNT, done. Senior deferral was done. Is that correct, Senator Skoy? Senator Ress, Representative Carlson's FD issue was resolved and adopted. These are all adopted. Senator Skoy.
There was a slight fiscal note change on the property tax deferral. I saw the thing. I didn't actually have time to read it. If you wanted to have somebody tell us what that is.
Ms. Von Mosch or Ms. Templin, did you hear that there's a change? Is that, have you both counted that in the spreadsheet and you know what it is? Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And I don't want to put Ms. Von Mosch on the spot, but I do want folks to know that all the conference committee and everybody in the rooms, thoughts and prayers are with your family at this time. So we know this is tough. So thank you for being with us. We have the riparian study is adopted. Yep. And that was a compromise from the House position. Is that right, Senator Skoy?
Yes.
Okay, the EMT Hilti ambulance, I can't remember the senator. That one's done.
Lori.
And we had so much fun on the House floor today talking about horses, and that one is done, correct? The different provisions in the study. And okay, so that part's been adopted. Let's see. We have a technical issue that I think is important, Senator Bach. If this one takes a while, then we might need to go back. So let's just try to assess quickly if it takes a while. The 3/8 constitutional sales tax technical changes that I authored, and I don't recall, Senator Bach, I think you authored. Did you? That can take a while. Senator Bach, do you know about this? I think
it's relative to the constitutional amendment money.
It was the technical stuff to make sure they weren't getting money they weren't supposed to be getting, basically.
Right.
Do you want to adopt those now?
I think we probably want to get that done.
Ms. Dalton, you want to join us at the table just briefly and direct us to the side-by-side?
Yeah.
I think that one's important because that's just, if we don't fix that now, it's just going to get harder. Ms. Dalton, and do you know where? Does anyone know where?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Hedstrom, 62.
Madam, 10, it's Articles 10, House Article 10, Sections 23, 32, and 34. 23 is the one that actually adds the 3/8 into the statute.
Ms. Dalton, I'm going to just slow you down for a second. Which one are you on first?
Page first. 60, Section 23.
23, okay.
That's the one that actually puts the rate into the statute.
Let's just adopt these one by one if we can. Does everyone understand what that one is? Okay, did you want to repeat that, Ms. Dalton, what Section 23 is?
Article 10, Section 23 basically adds a subdivision to the rate statute that basically puts the 3/8 into the statutory rate.
Senator
Bach?
So
we can easily tell the total state rate.
Okay. So Senator Bach moves House Article 10, Section 23, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. That section's adopted. Ms. Dalton?
Page 62 of the summary, House Article 10, Section 32. This relates to the deposit of the revenues, the statutorily dedicated portions of the current sales tax, and we want to make sure that they don't include any of the revenue raised by the imposition of the 0.375. This has to do with the motor vehicle leases and in lieu taxes.
And
Ms. Dalton, how does that work again?
This basically says that any money raised from the 3/8 doesn't go into those two dedicated, statutorily dedicated, because otherwise you have that same money, you know, the 3/8 for the motor vehicle leases going to the 3/8 fund, but also going to the dedicated funds where the leases are going. So you'd be double dedicating that money, and so this eliminates that happening.
Okay. Sorry. Commissioner, I should ask you on the last one, too. We want to make sure that these technical things are working for the department. Is this, where are you on this, and where were you on the last one, too? I mean, I should have asked you. Your microphone is gone again.
Madam Chair, I believe this language actually may have come from the department. Greg Heck, Mr. Heck may have.
I think, yeah. It worked.
Madam Chair, I worked with Mr. Heck on this language.
Okay, so we're good with that? Okay, so Senator Bach moves House Article 10, Section 32. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The provisions adopted. Ms. Dalton.
And the final section is also on page 62. It's House Article 10, Section 34. And it basically delinks the motor vehicle lease tax from the tax rate in the sales tax that was never intended to be subject to the 3/8.
Senator Bach.
Okay. That's my motion, Madam Chair. Article 10, Section 34.
Okay, so Senator Bach makes that motion. Commissioner? Nodding yes. Okay, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Say nay. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's see. We have, I'm going to cross that one out. Representative Loeffler, do you have a motion? There's a Senate provision the House wants to take on, I have, inter-district cooperative. I'm not sure what that is. Representative Loeffler?
Madam Chair and members, I'm always glad to promote cooperation between governments, and on page 34, Senate Article 4, Section 2 provides that school districts with current technical programs that are part of an inter-district cooperative agreement can figure out how to allocate the levy amongst the participating districts.
Page 34.
Page 34, Section 2 on the right under under the Senate.
Madam Chair.
Senator Skoy, please.
Senator Stump will be happy if we adopt this.
What is it?
I am not seeing it. Page 34. 34.
Article 4, Section 2 on the Senate side.
Okay, so Representative Loeffler moves Senate Article 4, Section 2. Discussions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bach.
Representative Cipher, you noticed something about this working tax conference committee. House members move Senate provisions. Senate members move House provisions. And in all my years on the tax conference committee, I'm having a hard time remembering somebody in this room asked for a roll call. Just want to let you understand how things normally work down here.
We're in abnormal times, Mr. Chair.
This is where the heavy lifting gets done, Representative Cipher. And we don't play games down here. This is where the heavy lifting gets done for the House and the Senate.
We'll see if the bill gets signed, Mr. Chair. We'll give a little bit.
Further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Let's see. We do need to go through the public finance pieces, and I think there's a lot of them we can adopt.
Can we talk about my compact development TIF district before we do that?
Well, I think that will take a long time since I really, really, really don't like it. But I do know that some of the folks who were working on that had sent me a note that they wanted to talk about it, and they have not had a chance to talk with me. So I'd rather wait till then. Yes, please. Okay, so I have there's a little bucket here of disasters. And we don't want to joke about disasters. But, you know, we had the Ham Lake, and, you know, generally we try to be as nonpartisan as possible with disasters. And so here's what I have on the list. We've got the Representative Marquardt Lanning flood in the Red River Valley. We've got the Representative Broad Disaster Homes and the Senator St. Charles, Representative Drazkowski, who's the Senator Murphy. St. Charles Fire. So do folks want to kind of think about those three? I mean, I don't know how we would work through the pieces. There are some money pieces here. I don't know if we want to kind of hold on these till tomorrow and have people think them through, but I don't want to forget them, and I think they're really important because what we've always done is we've said that, you know, and this was the case when I was in the minority and on this conference committee, you know, people set aside partisanship to deal with disasters. So, yep, they cost a little bit of money, but I do think if we have a little bit of money, we probably need to do them. But how do you want to handle those, Senator Bach? We've got different situations going on there.
I'm sure I want to do these too, but let's do them tomorrow so we can have a good, thorough discussion when everybody's rested on them. But I don't want anybody to think I don't want to do these because I do want to do them. And I think we need to figure out, the Senate had proposed doing some of these out of the existing LGA formula. And if there's cash to do them, that might make more sense than redistributing LGA money. So
I think that is one of the things we have to talk about because there's a couple other things at play within the formula and then just have to think that part through. So I agree. So let's hold on all those for folks who are tracking those. I have the Faust tax forfeited land provision. I don't know if Senator Skoy or Representative Marquardt can tell me. I don't even recall what that one is.
Yeah. Madam
I think
Chair.
It was a non-controversial, but
no.
Representative Marquardt, no?
Yeah, no. Madam Chair, members, we talked a little bit about this before, but there's some tax forfeited land that comes from forest land, and they get into a reserve. And what the Faust bill would say is that whatever they have in reserve, and I have got a list of counties here and what they have in reserve, that they would be able to use those to make up unallotment or cuts. And Representative Faust is willing. I know there was some concerns to limit that, is that he would be willing to accept funds, only counties where funds are in excess of $500,000, which would probably be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 counties in the state out of the 42, I think, that are roughly that. So for your consideration. But It's dollars that they maybe could use, they're not using now, and he's willing to limit that down to just counties that have reserves over $500,000.
And I can see those faces, so I think you guys are holding till tomorrow, but I do want to tell you that Representative Faust cares really deeply about this provision. So, Senator Scoy, now you're going to tell me that you're not ready, so I understand.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm ready. And not interested in supporting this. I think that these dollars that are generated off the tax forfeited land ought to be spent in, as they were intended, to go back to the uses on the land, and they can be used for trails or forestry or anything, but I don't think they should go into the county's general fund.
No. Okay, so let's hold on that. Maybe we can hear from Representative Faust on that, because he's, I know, cares a lot about it. So if we can just take a minute on that one tomorrow, I'd appreciate it. I don't know what this is. This one? No, that's a no. Do you want to? Should we work through some of the public finance provisions?
Madam Chair, should we try to get some more of the property tax stuff?
Well, mostly the rest of it we don't like. I'm just. Oh! There are some of those levy items that are non-money items.
Was that the apprenticeship thing that Representative Scoy and Mark were talked about, and the marina ones, the two I was thinking about that I'd really like to get done tonight.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bach, we're not a fan of either one of those, but Senator Moi.
Madam Chair, if there's nothing on your list that you're bringing up tonight, does that mean that those are the things you don't like?
No, we've brought up a lot we do and don't like, and we voted on them. In fact, you guys have defeated some of our things, so we're happy to keep taking votes on things. But I think what we're trying to say here is if things are still in play, we'd like to at least hold tomorrow, and you know, Senate will have the gavel tomorrow. You know, we're just spending it. We'll be a grand total of about an hour and a half today on this bill. We can get there.
I think we're one for one in defeating provisions.
Yeah. I mean, most of these provisions we've adopted are House and Senate members' provisions. I mean, all these TIF districts, they're both folks. So if someone's feeling I'm being partisan or unfair, please just tell me. I'm open to hearing that.
I'd just like to get the apprenticeship and the marina one done.
And that's Representative Solberg's. Okay, so that's our member, and you know, it's not about the Senate.
I'm not asking to get the leased land one done.
Yes,
tonight.
But is someone feeling that way? Because I mean, if there's something I'm missing, someone should tell. We were trying to do the small, non-controversial ones. Does anyone have? I'll stop on my list if someone wants
Madam
to tell
Chair.
Me a small, non-controversial one.
Madam Chair, my understanding Seifert. Is that marina issue is not some parochial issue that Senator Bach has, but it's a clarification language that the resorters have, and it's not controversial at all, at least the way it's been explained to me. You know, maybe you think it's controversial, but you know, Mr. Carlson could probably give us a 90-second version of what it's about, and I'm certainly supportive of it and think it would be something worth getting out of the way tonight.
I think it's very controversial, and it's a brand new thing, and it's something we don't do. But if you know, if we want to, I mean, if we're going to vote tonight, I think we're going to vote no. But if you want to, I mean, we can keep talking about it. What do you want to do? To me, it is not non-controversial at all. We already spent a lot of time on it. Senator Bach, you want to?
Well, Madam Chair, let's do the apprenticeship one tonight.
Well, I mean, we can come back to it after the, you know, I'm thinking at around 11 o'clock maybe is the better. That's what I'm thinking there. Why don't we do that? Why don't we shoot for that around 11? And the apprentice there, too. I mean, I'm trying to get to the ones that nobody disagrees with, and they're hard to find. I get that. That's why I thought public finance has a bunch, because we've both got a bunch of the same provisions. I saw both Senator Dibble and Senator Johnson raise their hand because they think they have something that's not controversial. What do you got?
Did we decide Catholic elder care is worth taking a shot at? Or
we talked about that about 15 minutes ago.
Right, and what did we say?
And we decided we wanted to talk about the end of the rainbow, which Senator Bach wants to hold. So they kind of they're kind of together.
I missed that. Okay.
So I apologize for that one.
Well, Madam, I think Senator Johnson has a provision.
Right, Senator Johnson. Is that okay, yes. Senator Dibble? That's how we're thinking of them together because
I didn't catch the bridge.
Okay, so sorry about that. Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a House provision. It's on page 81, Article 13 of the House, Section 7.
Page 81. Okay, so side by side, page 81?
It must start on page 80.
No. It's got to be somewhere else. Wait a minute. Page 80?
Is it this one, section for special levies?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
On the House?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah,
House side.
What section?
7.
Did we adopt? Oh, levy limits.
Madam Chair, what this is, is up in Anoka County, they've built a new, I think it's a some kind of a criminal lab that the county built, and they had never lobbied, they had never levied for the operational costs of it, and now they're, it's been brought into operation, and they find themselves under the levy limit, and they need additional levy to now operate the new building. And so I think what your language proposes is that that levy be outside of the limit, because they really were caught in a pretty tough spot.
Madam Chair, and it
is
revenue neutral, because it will retire some of the other older debt service.
So you're not taking the levy limit part on the Senate side,
no.
Right? Okay, so your motion, Senator Johnson, is?
To move House Article 13, Section 7.
Senator Johnson moves House Article 13, Section 7?
Correct.
And that's the fourth bullet, which I'm just going to read for clarification on the side-by-side, says adds a special levy for counties to pay the first year's cost of maintaining and operating new public safety and court facility that was funded prior to imposition of levy limits in 08. You know, we can take that motion. Are you interested in all of them? Why wouldn't we just do all of them? I think that's.
You don't want to do
the second bullet. Why don't we vote on Senator Johnson's motion and finish the rest if we can? So discussion to Senator Johnson's motion.
Madam Chair. Is this specific only to Anoka County, or do we know if any other counties get tripped, you know, by mistake or something?
Senator Johnson?
Other counties could use it if they would like to. It doesn't trigger anything, though.
Okay. Is everybody okay with that? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion adopted. So can we just look at the rest of that, too, Senator Johnson? And Representative Marquardt, I think, is saying that the department doesn't like one of them. Is that
Madam Chair, the second bullet down might be one that we probably want to at least get a nod of the head on whether or not they would accept that.
Ms. Assistant Commissioner Cadoon, do you know, looking right above the Johnson motion, there's three bullets. Is it number two?
Yes.
I think okay, the third is special levies for sex offenders. I think that's probably pretty non-controversial. And then the animal shelter one as well. Is important, I think, that we do that. But Ms. Cadoon, do you have a comment on all these?
Madam Chair, if you, Commissioner Inez just went out to kind of try to figure out that second one.
Okay.
You can hold off for a minute.
But the other two?
As far as I know, they should be fine.
Do you want to move the other two?
Yep.
And then we'll wait for the Commissioner on that last piece. Is that okay?
I will move Article 13, Section 7, the first and the third bullets there.
Oh, yeah.
The first bullet deals with an animal shelter. That was a junkie bill.
Someone just sent me in.
And the second one dealing with confining sex offenders. So make that motion. The first bullet and the third bullet.
Does everyone understand that motion? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. And Senator Dibble is going to look at one. And then we'll come back to Senator Dibble in a second. Does anyone else have something they think is not controversial, which is getting harder here? I still have the public finance provisions. I have Representative Dietrich, Coon Rapids, LGA, Senator Bach, but I think that, again, is in the formula discussion. You know, so I think, unless you wanted to take that, I think we need to hold on that. That's the Dietrich. I don't know who. I think Senator Johnson has that as well. Hold on that one. Senator, let's see. We just did the, yeah, okay. Anybody have anything without controversy? Oh, is this one that I think they really want?
No.
David's bread and breakfast?
No, we didn't decide.
So we're not doing that?
Lanesboro.
I guess not.
Yeah. So Senator Scoy and Representative Marquardt, we're not going to have a motion on that. Is that what I understand?
Tonight, no.
I can cross it off my list. Do you have some? Are they on this list?
No, they're not.
Okay, well, I want to stay on. Okay. I still have public finance that I think we can work through. I have something that I don't know how I came up with this. I think this was me. Senator Bach, what was this Dean Johnson rename something? Is that in the tax bill? Somewhere else? Nope. Okay, forget that one. That's definitely off. Dougie Johnson. There's lots of Johnsons. Is there something about renaming something in this bill? No.
Nothing in the Senate.
Good. Cross that out. Let's see. We have Holman Field. Senator Walk here. I don't know if that's kind of controversial or.
Well, it's a pretty big money issue, I think.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Is it? Money?
You put them on the state general tax.
No. I'm talking about something that I thought Senator Waugh and Representative Johnson cared about this one, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Well, it is putting all the airports back on the general tax.
I thought you were putting it on the local taxes. Okay, so maybe we need to hold on
anything,
that.
We don't have anything on
okay, so I thought, yeah. I'm sorry, I misunderstood that one.
But the other one that I care about is the Central Corridor TIF that
okay.
we can...
Just controversial, yeah. And I think Central Corridor TIF... Are the OPEB controversial to you?
We don't have anything on our bill, ma'am.
Okay, we have that in the public finance. This TIF. There's a TIF. Which one is this? Is this a Senate?
It's in both bills.
Okay. Do you want to tell us, Mr. Michael, if this is a technical clarification, what it is? It's done. We want
to... I found that.
Mr. Michael, technical TIF change.
Chair,
what it is? Does everyone know what that is? That was from the Office of the State Auditor. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I don't want people to vote on it if they don't understand it. Mr. Michael?
Where is it?
Does everyone understand it?
Just
where is it again,
the,
Madam Chair?
Senator Rust?
Where is it again?
Can someone put this off to Senator?
Here, give it to me.
No, thank you. Let's just let Senator Rust read that. This was from the Office of the State Auditor. Mr. Michael, do you want to explain it again just real quick? I think most of us were just trying to find it and weren't listening. At least I wasn't listening, so I apologize.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, both of the bills have very similar provisions. There were some minor differences. These are the changes in the TIF plan requirements that focus the contents of the TIF plan on the spending of increment and not on other revenues. And there were just a couple of differences between the clauses of the requirements. The main difference was that the Senate bill struck clause 4 entirely and the House bill did not. This does not do that, and there were differences in clause 3, and this is sort of an amalgam of the two, which doesn't really parallel either bill because of the way it was done. It really wasn't consistent. So these are really minor changes.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rust, please.
Madam Chair, is this language similar to what was in 2331?
Mr. Michael?
Any of the same issues?
Madam Chair, Senator Rust, I'm not sure what 2331
It is Ellen Chesky bill on tax increment financing reporting.
Yes, this is the this provision came from that bill.
Okay. You okay with that? Okay. Discussion. Further discussion. Did we make a motion, Senator Representative Coonan?
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay, so that amendment number is?
The amendment number JM054.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye. 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 Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Senator Dibble?
Yes, Madam Chair. The piece on the car sharing?
Page 60.
It's on page 60. Look at House Article 10, Section 25. Senator Vardy. On the Senate side, I'm not sure who on the House, but what that does is allows these nonprofit car sharing organizations who, once they get above a certain fleet number, a new car rental fee or a new registration tax is going to apply to them that really makes their operation much more difficult, much more expensive, and so. This replaces that or creates an exemption from that.
Does everyone understand this? This is the car sharing. There's no general fund money. Senator Bach, you don't like it?
It's identical language.
Yeah, it's identical.
Oh, it's identical. Oh, perfect. I thought you were giving me the no way look. Okay, discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay.
I'm sure I thought we'd already talked about it too long for something that was identical.
How about right? Oh, no, that's money. A couple down. Theirs are identical, but that's money. Commissioner?
I've got something on page 82, and we touched on it briefly. I don't think this is controversial.
Page 82?
I don't believe this is controversial.
Page 82.
It is the city of Red Wing. It is Senate Article 15, Section 8. The issue is...
it's money.
I don't remember what the number is in the spreadsheet. It's really small.
Did you say that fee thing?
This it provides an exemption from the solid waste tax. The issue is if the waste burning facility is owned by the county, it's exempted from these taxes. And we don't think there ever was an intention to not, that if one was owned by a city, they'd be subjected to the tax. But there is one in the state that's owned by a city, and it's in Red Wing. All the others are owned by counties. So it just seems to be consistent. If it's publicly owned, it should be exempted. So. And it's a really small cost.
Yeah, Senator Bach, and we didn't hear it because we weren't hearing bills where they went and raised revenue, but it was really small.
It's a few thousand dollars.
I'm recalling now, though, they're sort of making the argument that, the argument you just made, and I think they have merit, that we're the city and we should get this deal too, because the county does. But they limit it just to home rule charter, and why not just do it to statutory cities as well, which are most cities. So I think we should have that language change if we're going to do it.
I don't believe there are any other ones, but.
Well, I don't know about that. Mr. Michael, or can you answer, are there others that might later be impacted? I mean, I guess it's just if we would find the money to do it, why would we just do a, you know, one-eighth of, Mr. Michael? Seems like why would we pick them? Are you okay with that?
If council can figure out how to draft it, I'm fine with doing both and just getting it done with. So I'd move, Madam Chair, Senate Article 15, Section 8, and incorporate into that, including statutory operated cities.
Does everyone understand that motion? I think in the House this is Representative Kelly.
You're not saying what.
And then would this be Senator Murphy?
Senator.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. And that one was with the language change. I keep going back in my head to public finance here. But I'll have to ask Mr. Michael and Ms. Soff, is there a side-by-side prepared now that has the House public finance bill? Or is the current side-by-side just got all the Senate and then nothing on the House?
Madam Chair, Mr. Michael did a summary of
yes,
the
I got that.
Same, and I think we've already adopted it.
Okay, can we, if we could, is that okay, Senator Bach, if we pass that out? So that's a lot of non-money stuff and a lot of stuff that's the same. So Ms. Bergman's got that. While she's getting that, can anyone see anything else that's not controversial? I guess I don't know if Representative Loeffler's relative homestead is controversial. I'll tell folks that we do not have in the public finance bill the St. Paul provision for the pond. We had it in, and then Representative Mahoney removed it in Ways and Means because we understood St. Paul did not want it. But now that the governor's vetoed the St. Paul, the economic development bill due to the Excel Center, $33 million, I think it's kind of irrelevant. So I don't know if you had that in or not. Senator Moore. We were carrying it, but we took it out.
It's not in our economic development position.
And it's not in the public finance bill either on the Senate side. Oh, okay. Okay, so what are we looking at here? Finance. Senator Bach, does everybody have this handout? Well, maybe we should just look at what we have the same. Number one is the same.
Oh, we have number two. That was my bill.
Section 1, tax credit and interest subsidy bond, Senate Section 1 is the same. Is that right? So, let's find the Senate provision on the side-by-side.
Oh, Madam Chair, the headline on this sheet is... Did the headline on this sheet mean something?
Oh, yeah, it says not in Senate file. Mr. Michael? Okay, well, if this is okay with the Senate, why doesn't the House just go through and move all the Senate provisions? Or would you like to do the converse?
No, I think so, because the Senate provisions are in our side-by-side, right?
Okay, so let's go to the side. So the best way is just go to the side-by-side and have the House move all these Senate provisions that are the same?
I think that would be the best.
Right, I do too. So what page could we start on?
85.
So Representative Loeffler and Marquardt and Coonan and other, you know, we wanted to start moving these Senate provisions.
Okay, so move Section 1. Article 7, Section 1 seems to be the same.
Madam Chair.
Senator Sklai.
After this motion, I'd like to talk just a little bit about Section 2 because we do have a provision in the Senate. It's just a little different.
Oh, okay, great.
I think with just a very little discussion, we can agree on that.
Okay, so Marquardt moves on page 85, Senate Article 7, Section 1. Discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay. The provision is adopted. Senator Sklai.
Thank you. On Senate Section or House Section 2, the State Fair Bonding Authority, they had a number of requests in there, but really what they were really after was the extension or eliminating the sunset date for their authority to issue bonds. And I have talked to the executive director of the STAR board, and they're fine with the Senate Article 7, Section 2.
So, Senator Sklai, your motion is?
I would move Senate Article 7, Section 2.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. The provision is adopted.
I was the author of that bill.
Oh, good. So we can cross out 2. So, House members, someone want to move?
Section 6.
Well, let's move a few at a time here. Looks like they're all the same.
Senate 6. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll move Senate Article 7, Section 3, Section 4, Section 5, Section 6, Section 7, Section 8, Section 9. That's my motion. And Section 13. That'll take care of that page. They're all identical.
Okay, do staff on both sides have all of that? Okay, does everyone understand the motion?
All identical, Madam Chair.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. All these, the motion carries.
I will move Article 7, Section 16 looks to be the same. Section 17, we're on page 86. Article 7 on the Senate side, Section 16, Section 17, Section 18, Section 19, Section 20, 21, 22, and 23.
20 and 20.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
Okay, and then after this motion, looks like there's some that are almost there. So discussion, these are all the identical provisions that both the House and Senate are carrying in the public finance bill. Discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. I'm looking at this St. Paul bond. Senate Section 21 is essentially the same. Did we do that? It's number 40. Mr. Michael, am I off on that one? Are you tracking what I'm saying here, a St. Paul provision?
It was in the Markle motion.
21, I don't think he said. Did he?
That's the same, yeah.
Did he say 21? I did say 21.
Oh, I was trying to. Yep. Okay, we did that one.
Let's
okay.
Say it's the same.
Good. Everybody looking on this handout now, do people see things that are close that we could just quick work out?
I'm looking at the side-by-side, Madam Chair. It looks like there's only three or four sections we didn't adopt. So I think if we go back to Senate Article 7, Sections 10 through 12.
And that's the Senate bill, but then the House bill is here where there's a lot of stuff that they're different. Okay, so what page are you on, Senator Bach?
Page 85.
Page 85.
Senate Article 7, Sections 10 through 12. And I don't know if the House has
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have. Mr. Michael. Which one is it, Section
10 through 12?
Okay, so Senator Bach moves on page 85, Senate Article 7, Sections 10 through 12. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Anything else in public finance?
On the next page.
Next page.
It looks like page 86, Senate Article 7, Section 14 and 15. Those are the only two left on the Senate spreadsheet.
14 and 15. This right here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yes. Okay, we did not do this. We had some discussion about this in the committee, and maybe folks can help me recall. Ms. Baker, maybe. I think there were some folks who weren't too keen on this HRA stuff. I actually kind of liked it. But Ms. Baker, can you just remind me why what the House's discussion was on these provisions? Senator Dibbler, Representative Loeffler, and I'm one too. Hennepin County legislators, thoughts on this? You obviously have it in the bill, Representative Loeffler. I actually, you know, like to give HRAs personally more authority because I think they do good things. But I'm open to, you know, we didn't do it. You did it. But House conferees, do you have issues with this?
Madam Chair, I would prefer to hear from Mr. May before we.
Is Mr. May here? And can you tell us about it in 30 seconds? Mr.
Yes.
May? Yes. Oh, he's here. Please.
This isn't his bailiwick.
Sure.
It's not his bailiwick.
Well, Senator Ress wants him to respond.
Madam Chair, are there any either affordable housing folks or anyone from a redevelopment authority who can help us?
Sure.
Well, we could hold on this.
I mean, just want to
well, miss, that's fine. We could hold on. I mean, we have a lot of public finance provisions that we don't agree on here, so. Why don't we hold on that? Because we're going to try to recess here real quick. We do want to take more public finance pieces when we come back. Why don't we just recess? So, members, this conference committee is going to go into recess, and we will be back tonight, is the plan. Members, we are in recess. Okay, so now...